They were high school sweethearts that got married and had two kids. It's the Brunettes. From a new location, they tweet all day, but that's okay. They're the Brunettes. She is a journalist. He is a wonk.
Wonk, wonk, wonk.
They talk about the news or whatever they want. In the fight for justice, they're on your side. You can't deny it's the Brunettes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our low effort, low quality podcast. This is Liz Brunig. This is my husband, Matt.
Yep.
We come back to you after a bit of a delay.
Low frequency podcast.
Yeah. Well, look, we're working on that. We're going to make it happen this year. This year is our year. Look.
Some investors came in and said they wanted to buy it up.
They did not.
And kick out Liz.
Yeah, well.
And put in a more diligent host.
Yeah, sound off in the comments.
Should we take the buyout?
If you want us to take the buyout, yeah.
Or maybe I could make an AI Liz from your other clips. You know, I do record both microphones separate from one another. So I could get all of your old single track recordings of your voice, make an AI voice of it, and just type in your dialogue.
Yeah, I'm going to use my voice to make an AI voice for my computer. So when it talks to me, it speaks in my voice. Hey Siri, what?
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. I know they're using old voice clips to make AI voices of people who can't speak anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so like instead of having the Stephen Hawking like robot voice, it would sound like, you know, Stephen Hawking before he couldn't talk. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. But having having like your smart devices in your home, you know, like chime in like your coffee's done.
Yeah.
like that, but in your voice all the time, that would be really, that's something. That's an interesting idea.
Be like, hey, bitch, coffee's up. It has to talk like you too.
Maybe I need to go back to just doing some solo eps.
Oh, did I tell this ep? Oh, shut up.
Remember,
Matt?
Back in the day,
God.
Whenever we couldn't hit for whatever reason, I would just fill in a solo ep. Maybe I just need to do that.
I dispute that this was all my fault, for one thing. It takes two to fail the tango, okay?
No, in this case, actually, it only takes one to fail to tango.
Semantics.
in fact, in every case, I suppose it only takes one. That is the flip side of it takes two to tango, is it only takes one to not tango.
Okay.
Think about it.
Come on, man.
Okay, now you're just giving me the Joe Biden retort.
did I tell you guys? So one thing I do for myself is when I have an appointment or a call or something coming up, I email myself a scheduled email that pops up like an hour or 2 hours before the call or appointment.
Yeah, some people use calendars for that.
Some people use calendars. I use emails because I ignore my calendar, but I pay attention to my emails.
Mm-hmm.
I always just write myself a little note, like I wrote in a recent one, it's almost time, bitch. And I meant it to forward me this guy's email with that note from myself. So I'd know, okay, I'm calling this guy, yada, yada. But instead of forwarding me his email with my note, it just replied to him with my note.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this guy, you know, an hour before I'm supposed to call him, gets an email that says, it's almost time, bitch. And he just replied, I'm ready to go.
That's good. I have a similar story, but not as funny.
Well, it didn't really strike you as very funny. You just kind of were like, all right, got it. That's good. I'm working with what I've got.
I was trying to send you a link to my NLRB database.
Yeah, I saw that.
You were like, hey, can you AI summarize all this shit? I'm like, look at my fucking database. I've got 90,000 AI summarized documents. You can just click on it. You see, I got a whole system for it.
I asked you if you could translate stuff with AI.
Whatever. You could translate shit with Google Translate for fucking years. What are you talking about? And I actually sent it to someone else.
Being kind of mean tonight.
I'm just kidding. I actually sent the link to someone else, but I didn't send any text with it because we were by each other, like at the kitchen table. So I was talking to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, here, and I sent you the link to make it easier for you to click, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I sent the link to someone else, and I didn't know that. Like, I had no knowledge of this. I thought I'd sent it to you. And then, like, a couple hours later, they texted back, and they just said, finished?
Okay.
Like, they were trying to figure out, like, are you trying to show me that this thing is finished or what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
No, I didn't mean to send this to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just ignore me.
Imagine, like, you just, but if you get it from me, you're probably like, that's not too weird.
No, I totally get unsolicited links from
you. A link from me to an NLRB, to just a fucking big old table of documents.
Yeah.
Of no interest to you, and no commentary on what you're supposed to do with it or why I'm saying it to you. And instead of being like, what is this, a wrong number, there was an effort to be like, oh, Matt's trying to communicate something.
Yeah.
This is not too unbelievable that he might just send this shit to me without any corresponding text.
I could see it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look at it now and I think, sure. But yeah, well, I mean, so should we jump into it? I mean, it's now been over, well, exactly 2 weeks since the Biden debate.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
Now, in a ways, because it's been so long, you know, this might be a little fresh, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, we're doing a recap from like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people have moved on to new Biden stuff, but I feel like people didn't fully ingest. Because you watch the debate and you're just like, wow, this is going bad, right? But I'm not sure you fully process like the sentences. And what is he saying exactly? And so I've gotten a real kick out of kind of going back and checking all that out. Now, of course, it starts with the very first question in the debate, which is troubling. Where, I don't even remember what the fucking answer was, the question was, but they throw it to Biden, and he gives us this performance.
Every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare, I went to the war.
Okay.
Trump's little face when he turns is so good, too. But, yeah. I think I'll probably say this for the rest of my life. If I'm ever at a loss for words going forward, I'll just pipe back in. We finally beat Medicare.
Yeah, we did it. We finally did it. We were watching this debate with different people. Matt was with some friends in New York City. I was with a friend in Stanford.
Yeah.
And I was just texting Matt. I was just so aghast at what I was seeing and hearing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I've never really watched a debate with other people who were not, you know, essentially the same as me.
Yeah.
You know? So you don't really know, like, what's going on. It felt very much like, you know, like going out into the hinterlands and the diners and stuff. I mean, it wasn't that because it was, you know, not regular people, but it was people I may not normally be, like, hanging out with or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you get to watch, like, the sort of devastation in real time. It actually, I think, steeled me against some of the efforts after the fact to be like, this is just media. This is just media spin. The media is just dogging Biden. He's okay. Or it's not. Real people don't care. Because I got to watch real people watch the debate and just unanimously just be just devastated by it. And just be like, oh my God. Biden is completely tanking.
Yeah.
Because you definitely had that sort of counter move, not by too many, I guess. Will Stancil, aka Bill Pencil,
Okay, but why? This is just such strange bullying.
Bill Pencil.
That's like grade school bullying.
Bill Pencil has been pushing that line, Will, and but no one's really taken it. Now I do think, and this is me reading through, like I could be like a Biden, let me tell you what Biden is getting at in his brain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think by "we finally beat Medicare," what he means is they were able to set the prices for a handful of drugs on Medicare, specifically insulin.
Yeah.
Right. So Medicare Part D, for as long as it's existed, has required the government to essentially pay whatever the market price for drugs was. And they changed that for some drugs to allow the government to negotiate the price. I think that's what he's getting at, right?
Yeah, probably.
But we finally beat Medicare, not the way to express it. Now, I kind of thought, okay, that's a funny, you know, where is this going? Where is this going? And I thought that was kind of wild.
Yeah.
But it was not the wildest remark of the debate. I feel like that has been the most shared, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Perhaps because "we finally beat Medicare" is such a funny line, and perhaps because it was the first line. But this one, where he's asked about abortion, is by far more baffling.
Yeah.
Do you support any legal limits on how late a woman should be able to terminate a pregnancy?
I supported Roe v. Wade, which had three trimesters. The first time is between the woman and the doctor.
We'll stop. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Roe v. Wade has three trimesters.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Not how I would express it, but I get it, right? That yeah. The legal framework
relies on the three trimesters right. of pregnancy.
First one is between woman and doctor. Right?
Yeah. So at that point in the first trimester, you and your doctor can sort it out and you can get an abortion.
The first time is between the woman and the doctor. Second time is between the doctor and an extreme situation.
Between a doctor and an extreme situation.
You know, they're the ones who decide whether the abortion should happen. Ultimately, it's the extreme situation that's really making the call. And then the doctor is just, you know, kind of fielding that.
Now, this is not accurate, right?
Well, you know, it's, yeah.
Because in the second trimester, you're still allowed to get an abortion voluntarily under Roe.
Yeah,
right?
that was, well, I think it just varied by state.
Well,
no?
By state, the third trimester varied.
Okay.
Right?
The third yes. time is between the doctor, I mean, between the woman and the state.
See? That's what he's getting at. But that's, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the second one was not really true.
This is some kind of mixed metaphor. Obviously, his staff tried to teach him something.
They tried to teach him the Roe framework.
They were like, here's a good catchphrase. The first trimester is X, the second is Y, and the third is the state.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that's where we come in. And he just doesn't seem to have really picked it up.
The idea that the politicians, that the founders wanted the politicians to be the ones making decisions about women's health is ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of ridiculous.
The idea that the founders wanted the politicians to be making decisions about women's health. What
themselves. They were like really impeaching their own.
They were very pro-abortion, the founders.
That's the last. No politician should be making that decision. A doctor should be making those.
Except for the third trimester, where it is the state that decides.
Yeah.
So never a... What's going on?
Never here? A doctor or...
What's a mess? What's the mess here?
Yeah. Decisions. Something's not right.
That's how it should be run. That's what you're going to do. And if I'm elected, I'm going to restore Roe v. Wade.
So that means he can take the life of the baby in the ninth month and even after birth, because some states, Democrat run, take it after birth. Again, the governor, former governor of Virginia... Put the baby down, then we decide what to do with it. So he's willing to, as we say, rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month and kill the baby. Nobody wants that to happen, Democrat or Republican. Nobody wants it to happen.
You're lying. That is simply not true. The Roe v. Wade does not provide for that. That's not the circumstance. Only if a woman's life is in danger, she's going to die. That's the only circumstance in which that can happen. But we are not for late-term abortion, period, period, period.
Under Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do.
Trump was right about that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I think there was an interesting comment he made about sexual assault, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to turn civil rights back to the states. Let each state have a different rule. Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in. They talk about that. But here's the deal. There's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
The question was about immigration, and he somehow pivots from immigrants who murder, and then he just kind of swings over into people who need abortion because they've been raped.
Yeah.
Just moves, you know, full on to a different track for some reason.
Yeah. And I think confuses in-laws for incest, perhaps.
You're probably right, actually. And it's probably what he was going for there.
He was like, there's an incest exemption, and he was just kind of explicating why.
Yeah.
And it's because people are getting raped by their sisters, among other people.
Did he say sisters? But
each state have a different rule. And he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in. They talk about that. But okay. Here's the deal.
Okay,
there's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters.
Okay, yeah, he does say
sisters. It's just ridiculous. And they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them across state lines.
Okay. He got real pepped up. They gave him Adderall at the end.
I accidentally 2X'd it there for a second. Now, I don't suppose you can get pregnant from being raped by your sister, so.
Yeah, it seemed like more of a problem for your sister in that case. You know, people having incest perpetrated upon them and people perpetrating incest all benefit from this.
Suppose a woman rapes a man.
Yes.
And she gets pregnant.
Okay.
And she has the child.
Yeah.
Child support.
I mean, child support, as the sage Matt Brunig, peace be upon him, often says, is for the child, not for the adults. So, yeah, the child needs support.
I wonder what the rule is.
I honestly don't know.
Probably don't have a lot of cases.
Yeah. Damn.
Look into that for your next piece, if you don't mind.
It's an interesting case that I'm sure happens at times. So I doubt the women try to go for child support. But maybe, you know, those rapes would probably go unreported of men by women, because who's going to believe you?
What if I became an edge case reporter? I feel like that could be a whole beat.
Yeah, that could be a whole beat. I think that would be fantastic, and there'd be no one better for it than you.
Yeah, except the problem, the thing I would that I'm not good at is going to be the edge cases are not frequent.
Yeah.
So you really got to be very good at converting them into talking to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like with other shit, okay, if you're only 5% success, well, there's enough people. You can ask 20 people. You can get one. Here, you got to be 100% successful, maybe 50% successful. But I guess you could also just cover the institutional dynamics, even if people don't cooperate.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the people who have, there's a lot of little weird tidbits. Like, remember the people who get the wrong sperm from the sperm bank?
Oh, yeah. We watched a documentary we should talk about, but yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that.
But yeah, so the people who get the wrong sperm from the sperm bank, like that couple that wound up with a child who was black, and they were really upset about it.
They were. It was real uncomfortable.
It was really uncomfortable, yeah.
Okay, the last bit of Biden audio is not Biden, but is, as you know, George Clooney wrote a New York Times op-ed where he says, Biden needs to step down. I love Biden. He's the greatest man ever in the history of the world. Never mind the Gaza thing that my wife doesn't like him for. are you clued in on that?
Genocide Jill, what?
His wife, Amal Clooney, you know, he went for like the brainy international law.
Yeah,
woman.
Yeah. She's hot, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's going for the Neri Oxman type situation.
Right. He's a serious man. He's being serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, so this is like a version of that. I think she may have even dated him at some point, Neri. it's so demeaning. But anyway, she was in the eyes. She did some of that ICC stuff that said Israel, you know, she was involved in that shit. So
yeah.
Anyways, George says, hey, he's got to step down. I met him at this fundraiser and he was not well. And the Biden administration struck back and we get to see a reporter explain exactly how they struck back to Jake Tapper. Mm-hmm. And always interested to see what Jake Tapper how he responds
to those comments from George Clooney. Jake, a campaign official who attended that Los Angeles fundraiser, tells me that George Clooney left 3 hours before the president. So clearly the gloves are off, Jake.
What does that mean that George Clooney left 3 hours? What's the point?
The point of that is to suggest that Biden's stamina is better than Clooney's and Clooney didn't have, you know, eyes on the entire event. That's the response to the Clooney op-ed.
Okay.
We're in a special moment that you rarely get where the media feels very comfortable to not indulge any nonsense.
Yeah.
Usually they feel like we need to indulge some nonsense because we want to be impartial, let people say what they're going to say. We report, you decide. We're in a little moment here the last couple of weeks where every reporter is allowed to just kind of be like, ha, that, but seriously, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to pretend like Joe's okay. Their position is that Joe Biden has more stamina than George Clooney.
Yeah, I was there and it came in the fluffer.
that Joe is like more mentally there, more like...
No, he's got more stamina, you know, you got to respect it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's using, you know, devices to assist him.
Yeah.
Keeping it hard.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Well, there's an image for you. Yeah, I thought that was a really strange direction to go in, man, is be like, actually, George Clooney's old. What? No, he's not. What the hell are you talking about?
Actually, if in a game of endurance, George would not last as long as Biden. No, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
You guys should have to have a foot race now.
George can put out full sentences. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah. No, Biden, I think those days are behind him.
Now, we had the Biden redemption tour today where he gave some speech about NATO. And how did that go?
Man, not well. It sounds like it was not great. I mean, beforehand, he introduced President Zelensky as...
I'm Livy Dunn.
Oh, my God.
That is the ad to the video I'm trying to watch.
She's hot, too, though. The Viore girl. I buy my yoga pants from them, so I see...
She also rizzed up Gronk.
Vids all the time. What? What does that even mean?
Do you remember that meme?
No, what?
Livy Dunn rizzed up Gronk.
I was not around for that.
Livy Dunn rizzed up baby Gronk.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh my God.
Ukrainian foreign forces, and so their defense secretary leaders are here as well. And the Ukrainian people, you're incredible. But through all of your country, you're incredible. Their courage, the determination, the sacrifices they've made. And I commend all the nations that stepped up when it counted to stand with Ukraine. I've said before, Russia will not prevail in this war. Ukraine will prevail in this war, and we'll stand with them every single step of the way. That's what the compact says, loudly and clearly. And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
President Putin.
You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
Thank you so much.
Zelensky tried to rescue him from it. That's so uncomfortable. Oh, God. I would just kill myself.
That was his effort, too. Not a strong effort, either.
Look, he's like a middle-aged man. He's not, you know, it's not Chapo here. Like,
he's a comedian, though.
Zelensky?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't find him funny.
you don't know his body of work.
That's true.
No, so Livy Dunn was a gymnast at, I think, LSU, and she was, like, TikTok famous.
She was, like, on the Olympic team, right?
No, I don't think she was, like, an especially good gymnast. Okay. She's just, like, a hot gymnast.
Okay.
And so, of course,
they're all kind of hot now.
Well, you know, some more than others, I guess. She got big time on TikTok for being a hot gymnast.
Yeah.
Though some people showed that she was editing her, you know, make her, that wasn't her real body or whatever. Anyways.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's sad. And I don't know, I think she probably got NIL money. One of the funny things about the NIL money, that's the money they give to the college athletes,
yeah,
you know, where the brands sponsor you, is like in women's sports, it just all goes to the hot women. Yeah. And so you're thinking like, this will be great. Like elite athletes will do well. And it's like, you know, you have some elite like football players who make money that's sort of consistent with the fact that they're really good at their sport, you know?
Yeah.
And then like the next tier is just hot women.
Yeah.
Hot college athletes, you know? And then you have some smattering of money to football players just to like try to keep them on the roster and shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, there's another TikTok guy named Baby Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to be like, you know, Gronk, the Patriots tight end. You remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I'm real up on that shit.
So he was like a 10-year-old Rob Gronkowski, I guess.
Uh-huh.
That was his bit. He's in Dallas, actually.
Okay.
And apparently it's all, I don't know, it's kind of like the ticket people who interviewed him. I think it may have been Jake and Dan were like, this is kind of fucked. But anyways, they had a TikTok crossover. And Livy Dunn rizzed up Baby Gronk.
Yeah, all right. Well,
you know what rizzed means,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know what it is to rizz and be rizzed. Mm. I'm not like that out of touch.
Charisma.
Yeah, I get it. I'm hip to the jive.
I remember when this came out, someone tweeted with like, I'm losing my mind. What does any of this mean? Livy Dunn, rizzed up Baby Gronk.
Yeah.
Like, there's this whole other universe out there with different words, different characters that I've never experienced before. It's kind of,
it's honestly beautiful.
A little bit maddening. That's how I felt for a while until I hopped onto TikTok, and now I'm hip. Now I know.
You're up on everything.
Now I know where everything is.
Yeah.
You know, Sketch, you know that guy?
No, of course not.
That was a whole
TikTok or anything.
That was a whole thing. He's this streamer who plays video games, but they found out that he also, like many years ago, did gay porn on OnlyFans.
Okay. You know, sometimes we all need a little extra cash.
And, you know, and that was like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he did a video and he was like, I was going to kill myself, but
oh, God.
Now I'm okay. Thank you. Everyone helped us. And then everyone now is like, it's okay to be gay. And then, you know, because in the streamer world, it's very much like gamers, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like guys who are like, man, I guess not all gays are bad.
Yeah.
And people are like, okay, I guess that's a step forward.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'll take that, I suppose.
But anyways, good stuff. Good stuff. What was I getting at? Where was I headed? The man who had 1,000 children.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going? The sperm documentary.
There's a documentary on Netflix called The Man Who Had 1,000 Children or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's actually very fascinating, but you have to be fascinated by it in a way that the documentarian was too stupid to realize.
Yeah.
You know, like the actual, you know, the directing of the movie from the documentarian is just about how this is outrageous.
And yeah.
These donor parents, you know, the people who had his kids, you know, they're pissed. And like, obviously they should be pissed. Look yeah. at how many children he had. And here's their sort of crusade for justice or something. And
yeah.
No real effort to push the envelope on, why are you so upset?
Yeah, I tried to put myself in their position to see if I could reason it out. And I honestly think if I had a child by a sperm donor, and they called me up and were like, he also had a bunch of other kids, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's weird, you know.
I'd be like, I thought that was kind of the game here.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I receive blood from a blood donor, and you're like, he actually saved a lot of lives. I'd be like, fuck him. What the fuck?
Thought we were special, man.
His blood is now in a lot of people's bodies? That's ridiculous. But people do have that reaction. Yeah. Obviously, many people did have that reaction. So the actual interesting question is, why do you react that way?
Yeah.
Why is this so concerning to you? Now, there were a couple of things people did say, kind of passingly, that were sort of interesting a little bit, but not that interesting.
Yeah. Right?
So one was they're worried about incest.
Yeah, you know? That's what they all say they're worried about.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of them said it. Some didn't say shit about what they were worried about. But this did not seem to be that compelling of a thing because he was having kids all over the world. You know, there were a few places where they're like, oh, there were three in this proximity, so conceivably or whatever. But for the most part, he was spread out across the globe. It seemed like, and in fact, in one of them, they were saying that he was following the country quotas. So the countries have quotas about how many donor kids you could have. And he would max out that quota. And then that was it because he was operating through a particular bank. Anyways, the incest avoidance thing was kind of bullshit. It didn't seem like a huge risk, and they were able to compile more or less a complete list of his kids, and so now you know, like, you know, who is, you know, to be avoided and who isn't, right?
Yeah.
Secondly, or at least that's a very solvable problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it seemed to have been more or less solved anyways. Secondly, some of them would say, well, I asked him how many he would have, and he would say 5 or 20. So he lied about how many he wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that's a little upsetting, maybe, to have someone tell you, oh, I only have 20 kids when they actually have 100.
Yeah.
Or something, but kind of, who cares, right?
Yeah.
So those were the two where you're like, okay, I get it a little bit, right? Deception, and then there is a practical question of incest avoidance, though it seems like that's more or less solved or solvable. But then you had, I would say, another one I saw. This was not given as a reason. It was kind of given as a reason why they're upset, but I think it reveals more kind of like the psychology here.
Yeah.
They had a Facebook group where all these people who had kids from this guy would join. You know, and they would try to find all these people and get them in the Facebook group. And in the Facebook group, they share pictures of their kids.
Mm.
And this lady's just like, all these kids, they look like my kids.
Yeah. And same dad.
And she's just like, that's just, it's so disturbing. And you're like, what? Why? why was that? Other kids are similar looking. Why would that be disturbing exactly? And then there was one woman who said, imagine the psychological toll it's going to take on them when they learn that they have hundreds of half-siblings. Why would that take any toll?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Why? You're just kind of repeating that he has a lot of kids and being like, clearly that's bad. Like, what? Why? Anyways, I would speculate that part of what's going on here, right, is just, you know, there's a kind of a base human reaction here, right? To the father of your child is having kids with other women.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And
yeah.
Like, this is how he, but we can't express it quite that way because he's a donor and we knew what we're signing up for. And he's not like the father. He's not like a soulmate or someone you have a relationship, which we are sort of, that's kind of the key that we think about these days. but it's a much more base, like, evolutionary instinct where you're like, oh, and I see all these other kids who are, you know, he should be spending all his resources on me, not on these other kids. And he's, of course, he's spending no resources on anyone, right? But like just that raw hit of seeing it evokes that emotion, very primitive emotion.
I think that's totally possible. What, you know, my hunch coming away from it was something along the lines of, it's just jarring. I mean, they were acting like they'd been tricked.
Right.
That's what the behavior was. Like, we were unjustly tricked. But as you point out, there was never any kind of guarantee or even just suggestion that this guy wasn't acting as a donor elsewhere to other people. They were also really pissed that he had children in other countries, which seemed to belie the incest argument.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. I was like, well, wait a minute. She's like, he even had kids in Argentina. It's like, well, he's trying to avoid the incest, apparently. Yeah. Like, that's the thumbs up, right?
Yeah, and I think it's like having a child is a very special and unique thing. And you want to feel like it's very special and unique on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's very special that we looked up potential donors and we settled on this one guy out of all the guys we looked at. And, you know, he helped us have a baby, and that's very special and unique. But it's not, right? Your kid isn't special and unique. And, you know, the fact of your kid having half this guy's DNA is not special and unique. And that's fine. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, why would it matter? But I guess you're right. So it's all kind of a relative comparative thing, right? Like, to in a very base sense, wouldn't you say, hey, he gave me this kid and I love them and it's great and it's wonderful. And therefore, I'm also glad that he was able to do that for other people.
Right.
Because I want other people to have kids and then, you know, have good lives and whatnot. And instead, you're like, no, I only want my kid. I don't care about other people's kids or their happiness or whatever. Another aspect I felt like they should have explored a little bit more was kind of, I mean, these ladies are sort of causing this problem in part because they're all picking the same guy, which is clearly on some base level a sort of eugenic clustering.
Yeah, they like him because he's blonde. And
There's this Dutch blonde guy who, whatever, right? They went through his, like, that's what they like. And like, well, if you guys were more open to just, if you, you know, weren't so picky about the genes you got, you wouldn't have all clustered around this one dude. Like, you know, he can supply as much sperm as he wants, but if you don't demand it, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like, well, we just ran out of sperm and he just happened to be the guy who was donating a ton of it. No, everyone, there was plenty of other options.
Yeah.
And they all kept picking this one guy because they wanted essentially a white blonde child.
Yeah. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Now, the grand comedy in all of this is that the guy was a complete and total dipshit idiot.
The guy was insufferable, like not a human being you'd actually want to be around, which is funny because that's not something you think about when you think about donors.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, they'll put your eye color, your hair color, your height, your weight, your education, whatever, but they're unable to capture, like, is this guy a dipshit?
Yeah.
You know, and they, but he was like a YouTube guy.
Yeah.
And he would go to places and he was terrible at YouTubing,
mm-hmm.
but he was doing like promoting Bitcoin in front of the Roman Colosseum.
Yeah.
And like real goofy shit like that. His presentation was awful. It wasn't funny. It wasn't interesting. And that's what he would do. He would kind of travel and shoot these really bad videos of him being like, here I am at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, kind of guy you just would never want to be around, even for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, it neither was he good looking, I would say.
No, that's the weird thing. But like, you don't get a picture. I mean, some of them had pictures of him, I think, because he would also do some of it on the side.
Yeah.
Not through the cryobanks, but... no, you just get a physical description. And so you don't, you know, that's the other funny thing, right? You can't be like handsome.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say it, I guess, but you only get these stats.
Yeah.
So.
His stats must have been really good. He was not even, shall I say, that tall.
He wasn't that tall. I think he was
5'10".
Yeah. But, you know, no, I think it's the blonde hair, dude. That's what people are, I mean, I don't get it. People talk about blonde hair, I guess, but.
You know, I'll say this. It's one of my more controversial teachings, but blondness is a female trait.
Right, but they could be wanting to have girls or, you know.
Yeah, but this guy has a girly trait. Why are you selecting a guy with blondness? Blondness is a female trait.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but they're not selecting to be with him. They're just selecting to get.
I mean, you could have a son and then you would inflict the blondness on him.
It's true. Yeah. Do you see a lot of blonde? But if part of the problem is that he had long hair.
Yeah.
If you have short blonde hair and you're a guy, that's probably not that so bad.
I think when you're a guy with short blonde hair and you're white, if you get any sun on your skin whatsoever, the hair just begins to look translucent.
That's true.
Which is not, it's not a vibe. If you have like maybe a richer blonde, like a caramel blonde or honey blonde or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's
or
one
brown
thing.
Blonde.
Yeah, like your hair. You know.
That's what I'm going to start telling people. I'm like, I have brown blonde. And they'll be like, what the fuck is that?
I think you have really dark blonde hair, but I understand this is not your position.
Yeah, we have ongoing
disputes about whether Claire's hair is red.
I would say it's more of a red blonde.
I mean, yeah. That's what strawberry blonde is, yeah. I suppose.
Some people have kind of like a blackish blonde.
No, shut up. No, now you're just being silly and ridiculous. Everyone at home is saying, oh no, now he's being silly.
Sometimes people have multicolored hair.
Yeah, like scene girls with the raccoon tail hair.
Yeah. Jane actually has multicolored hair. I guess you call those highlights, right?
Yeah.
But they're not from the salon.
Do you just want to reminisce for a minute about how shitty scene looked? That was big when we were in high school.
Yeah, I hope my scene pics never come out.
Yeah.
Back when I was doing scene stuff.
I mean, it didn't look good at the time.
I don't remember ever seeing someone who looked like this, but I saw pictures online.
Yeah.
So I don't know where, I mean, were there people around? You were more in the game than I was at that age.
There were definitely scene kids at Martin.
And how does one become a scene kid?
Via emo. You're someone who is into emo.
Well, I guess I'm really asking sort of how do people enter into subcultures? So I've never succeeded at this, but like,
yeah.
You see stuff online or do you people?
Yeah, I think you have to see stuff online and it permeates through the music. Like the musicians look like one thing.
Oh, okay. I can see that. So yeah. So you're having to follow certain musicians because that's a thing. And then you kind of track. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like how the anarchists were into punk and wanted to wear denim jackets with patches and shit.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what is this? And then they're like, this is how leftists dress. I'm like, no. I don't fucking think so. Look at him now. He's just in a jumpsuit.
I like the jumpsuit.
Oh, I love the jumpsuit. I've thought about going full jumpsuit. And at a certain age, I'm sure I will. You know?
I'm looking forward to that.
You know, at an advanced age, you're allowed to go full jumpsuit. You know?
Yeah.
But at this age, it seems like it would just draw too much attention.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the problem I have with clothing is I want to be comfortable. I want to just wear certain things, but also I don't want to get the attention.
Yeah.
It's like when I used to wear those McLean t-shirts that had safety slogans on them.
Yeah.
I just like those McLean shirts. They're big and comfy. But people would read the shirt. Sometimes they would comment on it. I didn't care for that.
Yeah, I remember that. You used to wear the McLean shirts, and then you were like, nah, people are looking at me.
Nah, I had to retire that, so.
Sad end of an era, really.
It is. It is. You know what I saw the other day?
What'd you see?
I saw an ad for what do they call those things that they're called body suits, right? That women wear so that their shirt is tucked in but not in a wrinkly way.
Yeah.
I saw an ad for a male bodysuit.
Oh my.
What do you think of that?
You know, I'm instinctively disapproving, but I couldn't put my finger on why.
They were trying to sell it as like, this will be good for like tucked shirts.
They are useful in that way.
That's what they say, so, you know.
I'll
get one.
Yeah,
get
one. The only thing I would advise if you're going with a bodysuit is to get a thong. It's just a lot more comfortable and you want a visible panty line.
Yeah, this was a thong bodysuit.
No, good. So they're way ahead of me.
Yeah. It was a little disturbing.
Well, do you think it was targeted at an audience?
Me, apparently, because I got the ad on TikTok.
Interesting. Well,
it was not promoted as a gay thing.
You're clocking that was disturbing to you? Was it like, did it showcase the goods?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit you could see through the thing.
Well, if it's showcasing the goods, then...
And then he put his pants on, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that was an intent, that was the goal of it, but, you know, I guess I don't know how else you present it without it, you know.
Imagining a guy wearing one of those, really wanting to take his shirt off, but knowing he'd have to change his whole clothes.
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, okay, so let's say you, the ladies are so impressed by your bodysuit shirt because they're like, damn, that's what a tuck.
Mm-hmm. that's what they're saying. Look, that guy's just really neatly tucked in there.
Like, that's crazy.
That's wild.
It's like fully straight in there. And when he moves, it doesn't like come a little bit undone and make him look a little frumpy or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
not having plumber's crack issues or anything. That's
true as well. Wild. And then you go... And you go to her house, you know, after the bar, and then I imagine you taking like your pants off, and then you're in this fucking singlet ass weird fucking thing.
You're in a onesie.
Some of them are long sleeve, you know.
Oh, wow!
Right, because you would have a long sleeve shirt that you might tuck in, right?
Yeah.
How does that go? That seems like a real killer.
You should play that Oh My Good Lord song, everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Shaboozy?
That's what I imagine playing at the bar where this guy's wearing a onesie and jeans.
Now maybe, you know, you could be strategic about it and not get undressed like in front of the person or something.
Yeah, you'd be like, pardon me for a moment.
Yeah, pardon, I need
even
to
even stranger
freshen up.
Yeah.
And go in the bathroom and just come out fully naked.
Well, or you have to take the... I mean, how is wearing underwear going to work with this? Do you wear underwear and pants, even though it is kind of already...
That's a good question. I think it probably is your underwear as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, I guess you could wear underwear under it. It would have to be it would have to be briefs.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would fucking
Well, then how does that weird. Work with the thong?
I don't think you would. I honestly don't think you would wear underwear with it.
Why could you not just wear underwear over it?
You're right. You could.
Yeah.
You could. Yeah, I guess in the same way that you could wear them over your pants or something.
Yeah.
To my mind, underwear serves a purpose. And if there's some fabric between your underwear and your body, it's really not serving the purpose. You feel me?
Yeah, you just have underwear working overtime in that case.
Yeah, it's worse because now you've got extra heat. And
oh, no.
It's the song of the summer.
This song slaps, man. The first time you played it, I was like Jay-Z in that GIF.
People like the song because the artist is black.
Yeah.
And he looks like he shouldn't be singing country music.
Yeah.
I mean, they like it as, you know, itself, but like, That's the undercurrent of it, which I don't know. Is that racist? I don't know. I don't know. I'm reporting. You decide.
Lil Nas X walked so he could run.
Yeah, I mean, he actually seems like he actually is somewhat more sincere about country music. He did some of those songs for Beyonce's country album. So, but super successful, 457 million streams on Spotify. That's what, $20 or whatever pay over there.
That's incredible. You know, I have some news.
Okay.
I was banned from the state of Alabama.
I heard about this. Tell the story, because this is very fascinating to me. I don't think it's going to hold up.
You know, I've never had a very good relationship with the Alabama Department of Corrections. I guess we've never really agreed on much. I've asked them for comment. They've not said anything many, many times. They've refused to let me visit guys, etc., several times. And this last time when I was visiting Kenny, my friend Kenny, I brought in a pen so I could take notes. And they caught me with the pen, and they threw me out of the prison, kicked me off his witness list. And now there's another prisoner who's up for execution, a guy named Keith Gavin. Keith put me on his witness list before we ever spoke.
Yeah, unilaterally. That's some wild shit.
It was just totally unilateral.
I mean, imagine how in the head you are and how circulating you are that this guy who's never spoken to you, never interacted with him, and they're like, give me your list. And he's like, Elizabeth Brunig. That's fucking ball. I mean, that's some wild shit.
Yeah.
That's some wild shit. Like, prisoners across the country are like, going on with this? All right, I'm gonna put her down, see if she comes. Maybe something will happen, who knows.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I mean, you should marinate in that at least a little bit. This yeah. person you don't know is just familiar with your work and was like, all right, witnesses, bring on Liz.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Keith's a cool guy. But they wrote back, so Keith's lawyer submitted his witness list, and the Alabama Department of Corrections, via Holman Prison Warden Terry Raybon, wrote back and said, due to a violation in January, Elizabeth Brunig will not be allowed on any visitation or witness list at Holman ever again. And then 5 minutes later, after a 5 minute time lapse, he sent, be also advised, Elizabeth Brunig is not permitted on any state property. So I can't be on the roads. I can't be in the airports. I can't be in the state
roads.
Parks.
I don't.
The state parks.
That's an interesting question.
University of Alabama campuses.
Yeah, I don't believe the Department of Corrections has that authority. I don't think anyone has that authority, but it. Certainly not. The Department of Corrections is not able to set policy over the entirety of public property in Alabama. That's so fucking crazy.
I like it. I mean, maybe this does go all the way to the top, and the governor's like, yeah, go ahead and let her know that she's on notice.
I mean, that would at least, now we've got at least a statewide, you know, governing force that's at least somewhat plausible. I mean, and the reason he can't do it is because of, you know, like, constitutional reasons or whatever, but like... What a bold ass thing to do.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much.
I mean, imagine just granting yourself these sorts of fictional powers.
Yeah.
Like me emailing someone and just being like, as of today, you shall not ever visit the Statue of Liberty. And they're just like, who are you? I'm like, don't try it.
Yeah, you will be detained. Yeah. I mean, I'm very interested. I talked to the Atlantic's lawyers today. Initially, I forwarded those emails to my editor and was like, haha, LMAO. But the Atlantic would like to fight it. And I have to say, I want them to.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's get some discovery. I want to see who authorized this email. You might get this fucker fired, honestly. Not that, you know. I don't know. Like, I want to see the chain of events that led to someone. Like you said, weirdly sending an email that says you can't go on ADOC property and then being like, actually, it's all property.
Whole property in
and
the state.
And then was like, also the earth. The whole globe is off limits to you.
And we're like,
and he's fucking typing this out in a goddamn prison in rural Alabama, asserting that he has. How do you get there? How do you get there?
You know, I nothing seems more likely or appropriate to me than a rural Alabama prison warden overestimating his own power and authority. That seems to be what prison wardens do.
I mean, you know, remember when I was battling with the Alabama state troopers?
Yeah, you won that decisively.
I mean, at the end of the day, what's wild is you've got four of them who don't know what I'm doing. Why am I pulled off on the side of the road? They're very suspicious. They were fully rights respecting.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre to me. I would have never thought. They did at some point ask me a few times, like, are you recording? And I'm like, I'm not. But maybe they're chastened by that. Or maybe even the weirdness of the situation where they're like, what's this guy doing? He's probably some kind of monitor. He seems very articulate. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But for one reason or another, they did decide, let's not violate his constitutional rights. We will, like, pester him, but within the realm of his constitutional rights. When there's no reason they really have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they want to just be assholes, like, I could come back and file a 1987 lawsuit. I'm not going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But those people, in that moment, I'm sitting alone. They're whatever. It's 2 a.m. They are like, we have to respect his constitutional rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this dude is like, fuck the Constitution. I decide where you go.
Yeah. I, Terry Raybon, banish you hereforth from the kingdom of Alabama.
Like, what? So let's say you do go to the University of Alabama and you chill out. And, like, does Terry Raybon call the University of Alabama Police Department? And then they come and take you where? And what do they charge you with?
Yeah. I don't know.
Trespass?
I want to know what will happen to me if I disobey this order. Like,
I would like to see it.
Like, what? Are you going to detain me? Am I being placed under arrest?
Are
you
what?
Just going to make me step onto private property?
What is the crime that I've committed?
Yeah, just, I guess trespass, yeah.
Trespass?
Yeah, in the state of Alabama.
I guess you can trespass on public property, but that's got to, there has to be some official reason why you're not allowed to be there. It can't, and the basis for that surely cannot be a prison warden said you can't be there.
Yeah.
When it's not their prison. I'm fascinated by this.
I think it's very funny.
I wish I had talked to this guy because we saw him ambling around when I was going to pretend like I was going to become a prison guard. Remember?
Yeah.
We saw him. And I should have just run up to him.
Yeah.
Real quick, too. Like, real disturbing.
Yeah. I've spoken to him. He was in the hospital parking lot the night Alan Miller's execution failed. He pulled up in his white Dodge Charger and rolled down the window and told us to go home.
No.
And I was,
who the fuck are you?
Yeah, exactly. Mara was there, the attorney, and she was like, no, where's my client?
He just asserts these authorities. It's really crazy. One of the few things I like about being a lawyer, at least, is there's some level of, like, confidence and just being like, you can't make me do that.
Yeah. No, I initially felt quite bad about the Penn incident because I felt like I'd let Kenny down just out of spite for the ADOC, but you know, now if it's resulted in this, I think it's kind of funny.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really great. And, like, this will be in the press and it'll look real crazy and ridiculous.
I told the lawyers, the only thing I really want out of this is a piece of paper saying you cannot enter the state of Alabama through any public property. Because I would like to frame it.
I mean, if it got there, that would be cool too, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The roads is one I hadn't thought about. If you get banned from the roads, you're real fucked, you know?
Yeah.
How do you move anywhere if you can't use the roads?
But they're public property, right? I mean, they're state property except for the interstate.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the question of what is he even saying?
Yeah.
What is state property in this sense? Like, because no, you can't... no one has ever had to define it that broadly, right? Because it's usually a specific thing. Don't come to this school. Don't come to this courthouse. It's not all of... Now we have these philosophical questions of like, where does it start? Where does it end? What about public property and Indian reservations there? And now my Indian law brain is tingling.
Yeah.
Does it apply to them as well? Those are they sovereign governments? I mean, what's going on there?
It would be really funny if I took shelter in the Wind Creek Casino.
You could just hang out in the casino and use like binoculars and shit.
Yeah. And then I couldn't leave it for like, it's like Julian Assange and the Ecuadorian embassy.
You're stuck in like, or like one of those airports.
Yeah.
Where like you're a stateless person and they're like, you're not allowed to fly anywhere. And you're like, fuck, I guess I'll just live here.
Just live in this airport. That'll be me at the casino.
You'll have to helicopter in and out.
Oh my god, the Lorene Powell Jobs helicopter lift.
That would be wild.
Hope this goes somewhere funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. I like when things line up that way. You know, when people overstep and then you're sitting there and you're just like, this is going to be good. This is going to be, and I might have to wait a while, but you're going to see how this goes. I guess, I have that feeling a lot when I do labor law because it's a similar dynamic where employers think they can do things they are not allowed to do. And I mean, typically they'll get away with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like if I've been brought in, they're not going to be.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, they'll just like assert things that they can do. And you're just like, nah. And they're like, yeah. Like, I mean, I'll give you an example. This employer just decided one day because they were mad at something the union president of the local said in like a representation meeting that he was not going to be allowed on to come on the premises of the employer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in their mind, they're like, you can't come onto our you can't come into our office anymore. We don't like you.
Yeah.
You know? And we're just like, you don't get to decide that, actually. It's like, and their mind, like, what the fuck? If I don't want someone in my fucking workplace, then I'm the employer. I'll decide it. It's like, no, okay. I mean, well, whatever. I'll go ahead and file the charge, I guess, and we'll figure this out. And then you wait and wait and wait, and then they're like, okay, yeah, to settle the charge, we'll allow you back on the premises. Like, yeah, you're not actually allowed to kick the union president off the premises, not without bargaining first. Follow the rules, guys. Follow the rules. But that dynamic is so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It is. Complicating matters here is some attorneys who will remain nameless. Looked up the administrative regulation governing violations of policy in the prison by visitors. And they can only ban you for 6 months.
They have a policy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how long has it been?
It has been less than 6 months, but only by like 3 weeks. And they, because I'm also on the witness list for Alan Miller this September again. So it may be the case that they can keep me out of this one, but that they may be forced to let me into the Alan Miller one based on their own policies. It says that you can ban someone permanently from the prison after repeated violations.
Yeah, that's two or more.
Or a serious violation, such as bringing firearms or ammunition or illegal drugs into the prison.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be interpreted as akin to those, presumably.
Yeah, LMAO. So this is going to be really funny. They're going to have to do some shit they don't want to do.
Wild they have these regs. I mean, they should, right? It's a state entity. They should have rules that are clear and transparent to the rest of the society.
Yeah. Maybe the legislature will ban me.
You have to, what's that called, like a bill of attainder or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be careful. They could create a new rule that would apply to you, but then there's the question of retroactivity and whether that's allowed or not. But good times.
Good times. Great times with the state of Alabama and the open revolt of the American public against Joe Biden.
Yeah, no. And we'll see. I guess overall he did okay on his speech today, you know?
Yeah.
I was listening, though. It seems like Nancy Pelosi was basically telling people, wait till the NATO summit's over and then just start dogpiling the shit out of them. So the NATO summit's over, so
buckle in
tomorrow.
In my earpiece, I'm hearing that Biden got really mad and yelled at his press conference tonight.
Did he?
That's what people are saying.
Oh, yeah, the producer is saying that, yeah.
Yeah, I've received that from multiple sources, actually, in real time as we do this show. So we'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah, shit, I guess we're out of time. I need to go back and edit out all the marital conflict. You know, we can't let them know.
Are you Kamala aboard the Harris train?
Nah, I'm not jumping on that meme. Look, guys, I get it. You know, it's easy. We're having good times and whatever, but come on now. What are we doing? I mean, here's the deal. I guess we haven't even talked about that yet, have we? Like, no. What to do? I don't know what the fuck you do. Like, Joe's got to go. I think that much is clear.
It's Jover.
I'm not confident that they're going to win no matter what. You know, like, and they may be all losing moves.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If they're all losing moves, then to my mind, I would say just leave them in.
Yeah.
But we don't know that they're all losing moves. I would say we have a much greater certainty that Joe is a losing move than the other. Here's the thing that a little bit, and I mean, look, it is what it is. It is what it is. If they switch him out for Kamala and she wins.
Yeah.
She's going to run again in 2028. I mean, that's fine. It is what it is. And I guess at that point she won the presidency.
Yeah.
That's real rough, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whenever Biden won in 2020, the thought was, okay, in 2028, we'll have an open primary. That's eight years away, but that's fine. And hell, we may even have an open primary in 2024, right? Because he was suggesting he may be a one-term president. So you're thinking, okay, great. So the left's going to have another crack at this thing. And, you know, we may or may not win, but I'll get to write a bunch of policy. We'll get to push our shit. We get to have fun again in the presidential election. If she wins in 2024, we're not going to have an open primary until 2032.
Yeah.
I might as well just close up shop at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, no.
What am I doing anymore? But.
Yeah. God.
That's not why you should vote. It's like, well, how is Matt going to stay alive in the policy game? But it is something I think about. But here's the thing. Here's why I can express this. This shit has nothing to do with me. That's one of the things that's so nice about it, right? It's got nothing to do with the left.
Yeah.
Biden is imploding. Biden is the man of the center left. The left is not involved at all. We didn't have a candidate. I mean, if you were interested in like the sort of RFK, Cornel West, Marianne Williams. If you're interested in that, I guess. I didn't really get all that interested in that this go around. So we're just out of it. We're literal spectators.
Yeah.
You know, at least when Bernie was running, you're like, well, we could win the primary. And even when we didn't win the primary, there's a question of, okay, can we get some stuff on Biden's platform? Because he needs to incorporate us, right? Like, as he's going for the nomination, he wants to try to, you know, bring all the pieces together. And like, you know, if you want our Bernie support, then you need to adopt X. You're kind of in the game. We're not in the game at all. So like, it's just going to be what it's going to be. Other people are making decisions. What's weird, one of the weird things that is going around here that no one's really talking about as weird is you read all these articles where they're like, Democrats are on the phone with the top donors trying to figure out what to do. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I like, we all know that's how the game works, but we're supposed to be a little quiet about it. You're not supposed to be like, well, we need to go consult our owners to determine who the new CEO is going to be. That's not supposed to work. Where voters decide, right? The people, not top donors. But either in any case, I'm not a top donor. So yeah. I got no say over who's switching out. The center left, who's in the fucking power seat, they don't care what I think. So we just spectating.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It's very low pressure.
Yeah, that's how I felt before 2016.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of came on the scene in 2016. And you might think, oh, Matt's real into politics. In 2012, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
In 2008, I worked on the Nader campaign and like I was interested in that. But like, you know, that comes and goes and I don't really give a fuck. You know? You just don't feel like you're in the game. And now mm-hmm. I kind of returned to that. But anyways, I'm rambling on. Mm-hmm. Got to get the kids to bed. I'll edit out.
Look, it was not like we
now
had
look,
a fight.
Look, Here's what happened. I was dogpiling Liz a little bit too much about not producing the content.
I'm sorry.
And that's my fault, actually. My fault for you know, I pushed the joke too far, you know, and that happens.
Yeah, I was being bullied.
It became bullying. It became not funny. It became bullying. I didn't know when it became bullying.
Well, no one ever does, you know?
But at a point, it's, yeah, so that's what happened. But this was like 30 seconds. I'll chop out, but.
Well, I appreciate you. I'll do better on the content front, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep you apprised of these developing plot lines in the coming months. Oh, Tungus caught a mosquito eater.
Yeah, the cat's putting on a show, dude. He's doing cute things. He's catching things.
He really wants to bathroom. He wants to be a third mic.
Yeah, he's like, if you guys want to. If not, that's fine. All right, anyways.
Adios, mofo.